shops used to use for packaging before plastic came in. The silent voice in the programme so far, sitting there very, very genteelly and quietly, is Penny Miles, who works for the National Garden Scheme in Cambridgeshire and has the task of organising these burly blokes and many other Cambridge College gardeners. Are they a difficult lot to get to cooperate?
Well, we cherish all the relationships that we have.
Oh, yes, you would, wouldn't you?
No, it's a joy, actually, to deal with all the garden owners. And we've been very fortunate to enjoy some very long relationships with many of our gardens.
And King's goes back to 27 or 28,
isn't it? All these three, King's, Clare and Trinity, first opened with us in 1928. To go back to what you were saying earlier, it is 1927 that the very first gardens opened under the National Garden Scheme. But the colleges of the university were quick to understand, or early to understand, the importance of the idea of opening gardens to the public to raise money for charity.
I find that slightly surprising, because if I had to guess how a Cambridge college would have reacted in the 1920s to the idea of the public trampling through, it would have been, keep those smelly, untidy people out of our nice, clean college. But they didn't. They went for it immediately.
They did, yes.
I wonder what was it. Do you think it was the royal attachment, the Queen Alexandra thing, and the King backing it?
I think they genuinely understood that the benefits of opening. They understood the principle of it, because the practice of opening gardens to raise money for charity has actually become one of the great concepts of gardening history.
And all sorts of now villages open a whole string of gardens. But it was the colleges themselves, as I understand it, it may even have been King's, who actually, having been invited by what was to be the NGS, decided to form a group themselves. They did their own negotiating.
Yes, that's right. And maybe it's worth, at this point, thanking a very skilled lady called Patricia, who is an archivist at King's, who uncovered some really interesting correspondence a few days ago that does, in fact, explain what happened.
Yeah, I want to go into that correspondence a bit later in some length. We're running up to the travel news now, so we will come to that in a moment. But I do remember that one college, it may even have been King's, said, oh dear, when they were invited, I don't think there's anything anybody would be prepared to pay a shilling here to look at.
Yes, that's right. I think what he said was that the fellow's garden at King's has not the size nor special interest to induce the payment of a shilling.
Right, OK, let's get on with the travel, and then we'll be looking more at the history of the National Garden Scheme in Cambridge and more generally, and I'll be seeking some more gardening tips from these knowledgeable geezers. Back to the National Garden Scheme, which has been going for so long, right back to the 1920s, and has been strong in Cambridgeshire throughout almost the whole of its history because of the quick and ready response of Cambridge colleges to open their gardens to the public to raise money for good causes. Now, Penny Miles is behind the work of the NGS in Cambridgeshire, and it's money that matters here. It's not about horticulture, it's about money, isn't it?
Well, we certainly are at the National Garden Scheme about a lot more than opening beautiful gardens. And just to pick up on what you were saying earlier, in fact, the huge majority of our money still goes to nursing and caring charities. And what's unusual about us as a charity is the consistency with which we've supported those types of charities over decades. So, for example, all. We're now at 35 years with Macmillan Cancer Care.
Right. That's the one I most associate. How much have you raised?
We've given them just over 17 million so far.
Good grief. That is astonishing. And yes. When you think that some of that was raised half a century ago or more, the inflation means that it's an even bigger sum, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So over the whole of our history, since 1927, we've given 55 million to nursing and caring charities, but the actual buying power of that is much higher. Because, you know, £500 raised in 1950, the buying power of that is an order of magnitude bigger in today's
money. Much bigger, yeah.
So it is...
This is why, I mean, I think that we mentioned that King's in the early days was very modest and wondered if people would be prepared to pay a bob, a shilling, to look 5p now, to look at it.
Yes, that's right. And the other thing about the National Garden Scheme, I think maybe like a lot of charities, in fact, we don't have many employees. It's all run by volunteers. And it's nice of you to credit me with... working with the National Garden Scheme in Cambridgeshire, but actually there's a whole team of us and we're all volunteers. There's only actually about 10 people that work for the National Garden Scheme at the headquarters, and they together, it's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
You know, from a relatively small office at Hatchlands.
Where's that?
Well, it's in Surrey.
All right.
It's National Trust property, but they have offices there. And the whole thing is done from there.
If people who haven't generally used the National Garden Scheme as a way to spend a day at the weekend, or in the week in some cases, tell people right away how they can find out what gardens are open in this and neighbouring counties.
There are several different ways to do that. You can go to the National Garden Scheme website and all the gardens open are listed on there, and you can find by date or place, and that is ngs.org.uk. Locally here in Cambridgeshire, you can do National Garden Scheme CAMS on Twitter or Facebook. And of course, we also have the famous Yellow Book, the guide to gardens open in England and Wales, and you can get that from us at the National Garden Scheme or on Amazon, and that has all the gardens in it.
And then each county produces its own book as well.
Yes, we also have our own booklets, and certainly here in Cambridgeshire they're available free in libraries and anywhere where we can persuade people to show them, so garden centres and that.
Now, you see, these chaps here, these three college head gardeners are sitting with us. It's easy to seek them out. I mean, they're already famous. But their gardens are anyway. I'm not talking about you blokes. I mean, John, you've come lately. but how do you winkle out somebody who has a remarkable small garden and then approach them? How do you find out about that?
It's a constant effort by us, and we're always on the lookout for gardens that would like to open with us. You're exactly right. There are some very beautiful gardens out there that deserve to be much more widely seen.
Or not necessarily beautiful, but incredible amount of interest in a small area.
Yes, that's right. Well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, I suppose.
Well, there was a chap, I don't think he might still be alive, I'm not sure, but years ago, there was a wonderful Mr. Peacock who had a council house garden out Trumpington Way. And, I mean, people flocked to see it because it was not staggeringly beautiful, but it was incredibly well done.
Yes, it's interest that we're looking for. So that can be... take many forms. It could be vegetables. It could be the emotion in a garden and the effort that somebody's clearly put in. It could be traditional herbaceous.
So, is anybody listening who wants to do the dirt on their neighbour and say next door's garden is beautiful and people would like to see it, then they should do it. They get in touch with you and.
Absolutely. We're always delighted to hear from anybody that would like to open their garden, and we'd be very happy to come and have a look at it.
Do you, as head gardeners, I mean, Steve Elstob, of course, very generously gives his time to talk to ordinary gardeners like myself on this programme. But do you get quite a lot of people coming up to you, Tom and Steve Coghill, people coming up to you when the garden's open and asking for advice about their own little plots and problems?
Yeah, that does happen. Yeah, definitely. They ask for advice. Yes, they do. They do. Yeah.
And is what you know applicable to somebody with a small garden? Because you're so majestic and vast and they're so pokey.
Yeah, but it still comes down to individual plants or the care of, or how to get a better lawn, or why have I got moss in my lawn, and the usual problems that people have. Yeah. So, and yes, they ask for advice.
Everybody says goodbye, George, and I say goodbye to everybody as well, including you two. I'm most grateful to you, especially, forgive me, Jane, but Steve, who's done a 2-hour stint.
I think he's marvellous.
He's really, I don't know, I'm sure some government law forbids that. Thanks to everybody on the programme, and may I thank Jane Huck, Tom Doig, Steve Elstob, Steve Coghill, Sam Yenga, Penny Miles, Steve Jackson. Oh, yes, everybody was wonderful, but I was best. Bye for now.